22-3585, Allied Erecting and Dismantling Company Incorporated versus United States Steel Corporation. Oral argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Greco for the plaintiff appellant.
May it please the court. My name is Tim Greco. I am counsel for Allied. I'm joined with my partner, Chris Opalinski, who I tried the case with. We also have in the courtroom Mr. Mike Raymond, president of Allied Consolidated Industries. To clarify, not the Mike Raymond who did the original estimate that is talked about so much in our briefing. That is the brother of John Raymond. This Mike Raymond is the son of John Raymond. So a lot of Michaels in this case. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, please. One of the main points I think I would like to make to start is a procedural one that I think can easily get lost in this case that somewhat had a tortured procedural history and, of course, as you know, long years and a long trek. And that is the court's denial of the third renewed Rule 50A motion after this court's second opinion in 2020. And I just want to focus on that for a second because I think it frames the fundamental problem.
Before you go into that, could you clarify one thing, if you wouldn't mind doing so? What orders are you appealing? There seem to be some lack of clarity on exactly what it is that you're appealing.
Your Honor, thank you for that question. We are appealing the granting of the Daubert motion on May 27, 2022 that was granted orally. And then there were also motion in limine decision 6 months earlier and a motion for substitute expert that were also pre-trial that were made. Now, there was only one written opinion, and that was on the motion for substitute expert. All the others were oral rulings, and frankly, there was some confusion about whether the door was still left open or whether a ruling had been made. But then when you get to that Daubert ruling just a month before trial, there is an incorporation of those rulings, and those rulings effectively denied us relief for our count four and count five claims, and that led to the appeal.
So it's mostly just the evidentiary issues that you're setting forth in your brief for the most part as to what you want us to look at on appeal.
Correct, Your Honor. I mean, at base, it's a Daubert ruling made on May 27, 2022. Now, we take some umbrage of whether it was really a Daubert ruling. There was no analysis of methodology. There was a reference to prior decisions and prior evidence that we thought was already allowed to be in the case under the motions in limine. But the net effect of that Daubert ruling was to dismiss our claims, and then that led to the appeal.
Was the Daubert ruling made before the last appeal? You're mentioning that it was in May 2022, so that presumably is after the last.
Correct, 2 years after, Your Honor,
but,
2 years.
But after. When was the trial?
The trial was in 2015, 8 years ago.
Okay, so the second appeal involved items that happened at the trial, correct?
The second appeal was a reversal of the second renewed Rule 50A motion that had been brought after the first remand.
When was the trial compared to that?
That was 3 years before the court's first decision on a statute of limitations issue was February 2018. The original trial was in 2015. And then the second decision by this court ordering that a new trial should occur in very clear terms was in May 2020. What? And that's the point real quick that I want to address.
The Daubert ruling initially came up in the prior case.
Well,
Is that right?
It did, Your Honor. It was.
And then now you're trying to migrate that controversy or that ruling over to this case.
Well, we're not migrating it over. We point that only to show that in the original trial, before 2015 trial, I think it was sometime in 2014, there was a full-blown Daubert hearing. And the Daubert motion was denied. The court, during the course of the trial, some of these mid-trial evidentiary rulings reversed, the court reversed itself. And some of those rulings are what U.S. Steel is saying are still in play and are determinative of our claims. We believe they are not. And this court in May 2020, okay, so that's 2 years ago, ruled that, number one, reversed the trial court ruling and said a new trial should occur. Now, U.S. Steel, all along the way, had raised these alternative rulings. This court took a note of them, but said those must be raised within the context of a new trial. And that's the point, briefly, that I want to focus on.
But you're raising some evidentiary issues, including perhaps the Daubert ruling in this case that were that came to the fore in the prior case. And if you didn't appeal those in the prior case, there's an issue, or if you received an adverse outcome, there's an issue as to whether you can maintain or appeal those same issues in this case. Isn't that one of the controversies we have
Correct,
here?
Correct, it is, Your Honor, and I'll address it briefly. Number one, we believe that the evidence and issues will be different in a new trial. The rulings that you're referring to were narrow. And with respect to the buildings, the court said that an engineer's validation of that original estimate was no good and did not pass Daubert muster. That was the only thing that that ruling said. Now that ruling is being used to prevent any evidence.
But why? It seems to me the judge thought that the new trial would be on the basic record that the old trial was on, right?
No, that's wrong, Your Honor. And if I can explain, that goes to my original point. In the decision from August 27th, 2021, 18 months after the second appellate decision, this court reverses itself and says the phrase within the context of a new trial must mean something. It must mean something. So, U.S. Steel, I am not going to decide your Rule 50A motions on this initial record. I'm going to deny them on the initial record, and I'm going to allow you without prejudice to re-raise them after new evidence is provided in this new trial. We never got that opportunity. We were losing before it began. And the point I want to make about the timing of this, with the procedural point, is that the court initially in May of 2020, and I think this puts just a fine point on it, where the trial court really did miss the boat here. The court said, U.S. Steel, you want to bring a third renewed Rule 50A motion. Allied opposed that. The court said, I'm going to let you do it. I don't read the remand the way Allied does. You can do it. And that came out in December of 2020. It took 5 months to get that, but then we got that. When we come to August 27, 2021, 18 months after your second decision, the court reverses itself and says, no, I got that wrong. I appreciate all your renewed Rule 50A briefing for the third time, but I can't grant this. This cannot be decided on the initial record, or I would be in violation of this court's mandate. I must allow a new trial. What was shocking then to when we got into these motions in limine?
Whether the new trial, what would be the evidence that would be allowed at the new trial? In other words, if she says, I don't want you to have a substitute expert, I want you to use the expert you had at the old trial, that would be within her discretion, right?
Well, I mean, we think it can't be.
I kept out the building weight estimates the first time. I'm going to keep them out again. I know arguably the document came in, the opinion was not. But that was my original ruling. That's what I'm doing. It was never appealed. So I'm going to go with that.
Right.
I mean, it seemed to me generally she thought this trial will go forward. It will look like the first trial, right? I mean, yes, things may come in differently. If you want to read the testimony from the expert that's not here, read the testimony from that witness. But essentially, it's the same. It's going to look the same as the first time. And it seems to me you're asking for a trial that would look different than the first one. And that kind of confuses me, because to Judge Clay's point, maybe some of those rulings are basically in place now. They weren't appealed, and that's what we've got.
May I answer that, Your Honor?
Yes, please.
Time. Well, this court said very clearly that those rulings didn't need to be appealed, number one. U.S. Steel tried to use that waiver argument in the first two appeals. It said there's alternative holdings here that otherwise should lead to an affirmance. This court said no. We're not treating those as alternative holdings, and the court is free to consider or reconsider those on remand. The spirit of that mandate that should be looked at with a retrial should allow that any of those prior rulings have to be reevaluated in the light of the evidence that would come in. And importantly, we are talking about a new witness that was not available, and that was the chief problem the judge had with the estimate. Although you're right, it did come into evidence. And so we had evidence of weights for these buildings, but now we have the author, so it's not going to be data from an unknown or unreliable source. We have the author who's going to come into court and explain it. And the court, in its August 27, 2021 opinion, recognized that this is de novo. I mean, U.S. Steel wants to say, well, it's a do-over. Well, you can use whatever derogatory term you want. This is a new trial. It's in de novo. And strategically, you can bring new evidence, new witnesses. That's in her opinion from August 27, 2021.
Should there be complete new discovery?
What's that?
Should there be complete new discovery then?
No, and we were never asking for that, Your Honor. And I don't think we need that for this new trial.
But you wanted a new expert, correct?
We don't want to be relegated. And again, I would rank first that we have evidence of these weights without expert testimony. So I'll take that, okay? But of course, we want to put ourselves in the best position in front of a jury to be persuasive. And if we could have an expert who's live, the former employee, Mr. Klein, said in no uncertain terms, I'm not going to be your expert.
He won't. If you had the evidence, why didn't you just go to trial? Why are we here today?
Why are we here today?
Right. I understand why we're here, but I mean, it just seems odd that a party gets to kind of lose these trial rulings and then stipulates to a dismissal, but says, well, I did have evidence. Presumably, you could have gone forward with something. You could have read that expert's testimony into the record, right?
At which trial, Your Honor, though? That would be
the hypothetical new trial.
The hypothetical new trial. We were effectively put out of court in no uncertain terms. I can't stress that enough. And frankly, it's a little disconcerting. There's a confidentiality provision in our settlement agreement. But the one thing I can tell you is the settlement cannot be a weapon used against us in this appeal. We preserved in the stipulation of dismissal, that is of record, that we preserved every one of these bases. That was part of the deal, and it was done per Raceway. So we have the right to pursue these. And what I've said in our brief, if you want the practical reason, is because what's left to try is millions and millions, over $10 million in claims. Our claim was gutted, and what remained was very small that was going to have to undergo a very expensive trial with very expensive counsel, and both sides agreed that those would be settled and that the remainder would be preserved for appeal. And that is what we're asking for a new trial on.
Let me ask you one thing. How would our ruling potentially impact the settlement? The settlement has been reduced to judgment, if I understand. And now you're here with evidentiary issues on appeal. Is there a way in which our ruling could impact the judgment of the settlement that's already been arrived at by the parties?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because those were very small facets of these claims, and those are done and over with. And so the claims that remain require a ruling here. For instance, on the biggest one is the building structures that U.S. Steel admits weighs thousands of gross tons. We know that, and liability here is very strong. This is a damage issue, and we just want to put in evidence of the original estimate as evidence of those weights. That would lead to a recovery on a claim that was never addressed, never heard, first because of statute of limitations, second because of a generation argument, both rejected. And so we find ourselves, Your Honor, in this position because we've never been able to get over the finish line with the evidence we had.
Thank you.
Never walked away from it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court. In its last remand order, this court directed the district court to resolve the narrow remaining issues in the first instance within the context of a new trial. The district court did precisely that. It scheduled a new trial on Allied's counts 4 and 5 and set a final pretrial conference. But Allied was not content with a second chance to prove its claims in a new trial. Allied repeatedly sought to reopen discovery to cure its failed expert strategy and to reopen issues the district court had already resolved in which Allied failed to appeal. When the district court rejected Allied's efforts to remedy its evidentiary deficiencies, Allied settled the viable portions of its claim. Those were the small portions of counts 4 and 5 that were not impacted by the district court's evidentiary rulings. That's what it settled. And then dismissed what remained with prejudice. And as Your Honors honed in on, there's a reason why Allied dismissed those claims with prejudice in order to take this appeal. It's because there was no remaining viable evidence that Allied could put in under the district court's evidentiary rulings in order to prove what remained of its counts 4 and 5 at trial.
But why shouldn't these various evidentiary rulings be reviewable on appeal?
Judge Moore, they should be reviewable on appeal, and that's why we consented to take those issues up on appeal, and obviously that's why we're here today.
So one of the big issues was the who would testify, on whether it was going to be an expert or a new witness. Given the development of this case, why shouldn't Allied have the opportunity to present new witnesses to deal with flaws that were found either by the Court of Appeals or by the District Court?
Well, as the District Court correctly found, a new trial does not give a party a right to new evidence, to new discovery. Here, Allied was seeking to reopen expert discovery, which was settled long before trial started, in order to remedy deficiencies in its failed expert strategy. It was seeking to essentially replace an expert who'd been excluded on Daubert during the first trial on Daubert grounds and create new expert opinions to overcome those prior Daubert rulings in order to meet its evidentiary burden. And the district court correctly ruled that that's improper as this court.
So you're saying then, and you can give me cases that support you, you're saying then that if the one expert that was selected by an opponent is disqualified on Daubert grounds, that's the end for somebody. And so ordering a new trial is a useless remedy.
Absolutely, Judge Moore. And that happens all the time. When parties have an expert excluded, for example, pretrial on Daubert grounds, and then because of that exclusion, they can no longer meet their evidentiary burden, courts often enter summary judgment and dismiss the claims that are impacted by those Daubert decisions. That's very similar to what we have here. Allied's expert on building weights was excluded on Daubert grounds during the prior trial. By the way, its accountants were excluded as well. And as a result of those Daubert decisions, it had no evidence of the building weights that were at issue in count 4.
So if your opponent wanted to find a new expert, what they needed to do was to challenge on Daubert grounds in the relevant appeal at the time. Is that the bottom line?
Absolutely, Judge Moore. They needed to challenge, after the first trial, the ruling on Daubert grounds, because the ruling from the first trial was that Mr. Raymond's engineering opinions about the building weights at issue, they were undisclosed. So what Ally did is they had an engineering expert come in, and he took this engineering estimate that had been performed by a third party, a Michael Raymond, and he tried to do some analysis of that estimate. But the original estimate was never disclosed as expert opinion. Mr. Raymond, who prepared the original estimate, was never disclosed as an expert. And so
you're talking about the handwritten notes that were later made into put into a spreadsheet?
Yes, Judge Nalbandian.
Building weights?
Yes, Judge Nalbandian. So
you're saying that for an expert to rely on that would be essentially getting in the back door testimony that was expert testimony? So Raymond's estimates should have been expert testimony, so disclosed, subject of a report, all of that. That's your argument?
Absolutely. And that was the judge's holding in the original
trial. Isn't he like a business owner, though? Can't he estimate? You know, we let business owners speculate all the time about their profits, about the value of their business, about things that are kind of within the expertise of their business. Wouldn't that be, I understand it's technically not his business, but you know what I mean. Isn't he somebody that would be in a position to do that?
So, Judge Albanian, no. And I think you just hit the nail on the head. This was not his business. Mr. Raymond was employed by Allied at the time, and the property was U.S. Steel's property.
But Allied's business was to salvage from demolition, right?
Correct, Judge Moore.
Okay, yes. So why wouldn't he then know how to estimate the size and contents of a building that's being demolished?
Judge Moore, the issue was not that Mr. Raymond did not know how to perform that that estimation. We don't know what his credentials were because he was never disclosed as an expert. The issue is that he was never disclosed as an expert.
But as a business owner or somebody participating in a business, and why wouldn't this be a business record?
So, Your Honor, there are two issues here. There's the owner-operator exception that you're referring to, I believe. And that exception is applicable. It's a narrow exception, and it's not applicable here. Because unlike the cases that Allied cites where, for example, there was a sole proprietor who has some sort of unique and long-standing knowledge of the value of its business, this was very unlike those cases. Mr. Raymond came to the site, and he performed a one-time analysis of the sheet and 10 building weights. And that was not his property. That was not something that he had some long-standing, unique knowledge of as a business owner. It's very different from the cases Allied cites where, like I said, for example, a sole proprietor testifies as to the value of his business, or a stamp collector testifies as to the value of the stamp collection that he owns.
So you're saying it was incompetent lay opinion testimony under 701?
Absolutely, Judge Nalbandian. Mr. Raymond's testimony was...
And then, let me ask you this. So then, I take it your further point is that was known, that was a ruling that was made in the context of the trial. And if your friend on the other side had a problem with it, they should have appealed at the time that they were appealing the statute of limitations ruling the first time. Is that right?
So that particular lay witness issue, I don't believe, came up at the first trial. But what did come up at the first trial was Allied disclosed an engineer to testify as to these building weights. He relied wholesale on Mr. Raymond's analysis, which was completely undisclosed, never disclosed in discovery as an expert opinion.
I take it that the exclusion of that expert, on whatever grounds it was, should have been appealed the first time.
Absolutely, it should have been appealed the first time. And okay. Yes.
Why, if you lose the case because of a statute of limitations ruling, why should you also have to appeal everything else?
Well, here, the decision excluding Allied's expert was, as we now see, partially claimed dispositive. Allied didn't have other evidence of its building weights. So, the waiver in the law of the case doctrine operate to prevent exactly what we see here, which is Allied had its building weights excluded during the first trial.
But this was all the basis of the Sixth Circuit ruling was that the district judge was wrong on the statute of limitations, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And so you're saying then that Allied, who lost on the statute of limitations issue at the district court and is appealing that, which was the dispositive ruling, has to include in the appeal all of the steps that Allied didn't like at that time?
Well, Judge Moore, at a minimum, it would need to include the two other grounds that would have partially disposed of the claims at issue. And those two grounds were the exclusion of the hot end materials in count five as a matter of law, as a matter of the judge's contract interpretation, which also happened at the 2015 trial, and then the district court's ruling excluding Allied's building weight expert testimony.
Is there a case that talks that way? Like, you must appeal what you lose on and, like, stuff that's really important or case dispositive or something?
Yeah, that's a great question, Judge Empathy. We cited a few in our brief that talk about how rulings need to be appealed, you know, rulings should be appealed or else they're waived. I think that the closest one I can think of just standing here right now is the Howe case that Judge Moore authored. There was an issue of liability that was appealed, and then on a second remand, there was a reappeal, and on the second appeal, the party raised the issue of liability again on alternative grounds. Here, it's pretty similar. There was a liability ruling that was issued the first time around in this court on statute of limitations grounds. Now Allied wants to challenge an alternative liability theory that would have also partially disposed of counts four and five.
You know, what I'm not following is you seem to be suggesting that loss of the financial testimony about value has to come through an expert witness, and there were lots of financial terms that both companies would have had to have been well acquainted with. In fact, as I understand, U.S. Steel provided Allied with a $7 million advance payment. So there would seem to be lots of financial testimony that could be offered from both sides, even in the absence of expert testimony with the Daubert issue.
Judge Clay, the issue here is not a financial issue. It's not based on the accounting records or financial records. The issue here is that Allied is trying to rely on an expert, an engineering expert, to come in and prove the weights of buildings that are still standing at the project.
That translates into value. I mean, these materials were to be melted down and resold or reused. So, I mean, the value of those is what the whole transaction was about, isn't it?
Yes, Judge Clay, but the valuation opinion is based on the building weights times a scrap price. And it's that key building weight opinion here that Allied is trying to say is lay testimony. But Allied admits in its brief that this testimony, that in order to reach those building weight determinations, that Mr. Raymond had to apply specialized knowledge based on extensive experience in the industry, years of working in the dismantling industry. That's textbook expert testimony. And in fact, if you look at both the original estimate and the underlying analysis that Mr. Raymond did in order to reach that estimate, you'll see that he applied a number of discretionary decisions. He was applying, for example, a range of building weights and taking lots of measurements. And that range of building weights then gets translated into what's the total amount of scrap in this building. And he's choosing the high end of that range. And then Allied's other expert is coming in and sort of adjusting those weights. Clearly, there are many, many discretionary decisions that are going into how much did these buildings, which are massive buildings, the size of airplane hangars, bigger, they're many, many thousands of tons of structural steel and other types of scrap and other materials. That's just simply very much unlike you know, someone who can say, oh, this coin weighs this much or is valued at $10. That's clearly expert analysis that requires disclosure under Rule 26. Allied never disclosed Mr. Raymond's expert opinions under Rule 26. And it was because of that that its original engineering and accounting experts were excluded at the original 2015 trial, because they were relying on these undisclosed expert opinions that U.S. Steel never had the chance to test the methodology behind. If those opinions had been disclosed, certainly U.S. Steel would have...
What was their count four or five damage evidence at the trial then?
Judge Nalbandian, they didn't have any admissible evidence in 2015 at the close of the trial, and that was one of the bases of U.S. Steel's directed verdict motion. In fact, that basis of U.S. Steel's directed verdict motion, even though it was raised and re-raised both here and in the district court, was never decided on the 2015 trial record. And Allied wants to point to the original estimate,
P-126. That was raised in the second appeal, too?
In the second appeal, Judge Nalbandian, it was a different argument, sort of. It was a generated argument under the contract.
There was an evidentiary argument, though, too, wasn't there?
No. No, sir.
I thought there was.
Not in the second appeal. And I just want to hit quickly in the brief time I have left that the Allied argued that there was record evidence in the 2015 trial of the building weights. That's, in fact, not true. There was one document, the so-called original estimate, P-126, which was admitted. But that document did not contain the building weights, as the district court acknowledged at record 279, pages 1883 through 85. And also, there was additional analysis that needed to be performed on that original estimate in order to get to the weights of the structures that actually remained at issue and count for, because it was an estimate that was conducted so long ago before dismantling activity.
If that document was admissible, you're saying it didn't have the weights on it?
That's correct. It had other weights on it, but there was analysis that needed to be done to tease out the structure weights. And that was one of the reasons why both of the other experts at the prior trial were excluded. So P-126 was admitted at the last trial, and yet the engineering expert and the accounting expert were still excluded with respect to their opinions about count four values.
Thank you.
Yes.
As was just explained, it was a foundational problem that easily can be cured now with Mike Raymond as a witness. It was not an expert methodology issue. We have the answer. We have liability. We're asking for a chance to prove these damages based upon an original estimate that was done 8 years before the lawsuit was filed. You're not going to find anywhere more reliable evidence of what these buildings weigh. As far as the expert, I don't want to get mired in that. We don't need the expert. We'd like to have it. We don't need it. But even if we came forward with an expert right now with these values, it would be attacked as not credible, hired gun. We have an estimate that was done 8 years before the lawsuit.
I don't understand what's going on here. There's a judgment, a settlement and a judgment. You appealing all these evidentiary issues, and you want this Mr. Raymond to testify. Jurisdictionally, what's going to happen if we agreed with you and you prevailed on this appeal? Is that judgment going to have to be reopened? What's going to be before the court on remand?
No, the separate claims. We specifically in the stipulation of dismissal preserved with U.S. Steel's agreement the specific claims that are before the court. So I don't see any issue.
The unadjudicated claim, their claims, are you saying their claims that remained outside the settlement, that are not encompassed by the judgment that was entered prior to your appeal? Is that what you're saying?
Those are the claims in the stipulation of dismissal that are specifically preserved and being presented before this court. That was done in the Raceway stipulation of dismissal. So we believe we properly preserve those.
No, that's not my question. You purport to preserve certain claims, but the judgment is a final order of judgment in the case, and now you're appealing these evidentiary issues. What's going to be before the court if you were to prevail on these evidentiary issues? What's going to be before the court on remand?
The claims that we preserved. You mean on the new trial? We will then try these claims that we specifically preserved in the stipulation.
So not all the claims were disposed of by the judgment. Is that what you're saying?
Right. There were those small ones that were settled for purposes of efficiency, expediency per wet raceway. And that was done specifically with U.S. Steel's intent.
Your opposing counsel is shaking her head. I know she's not supposed to say anything at this point in time, but...
I,
I don't know how to react to that, Your Honor. But one thing I was listening to opposing counsel leading, and a couple things I wrote down, she was asked, should these be reviewable on appeal now? She said yes, and that's correct. These are reviewable on appeal now. And it, as was also said, the lay witness issue never came up, and that's the crux. The Mike Raymond issue never came up in the first trial. Keep in mind, we're not trying to get...
Why was the expert excluded then? Why was there a limitation?
This is a very narrow ruling. What he tried to do in the absence of Mike Raymond being there, we thought it was wise, strategically, to do a verification of P-126, the business record. So 60% of the scrap had been generated, and we went back and we compared it. We said, you know, it comes within 0.01%. It was a comparison. The judge did not like that, primarily because of the unknown reliability and origin of the original estimate. And that's in our brief. We point that out. Mike Raymond not being there was the big problem. Now he's there and can solve those issues. It certainly wasn't encompassed by any ruling. P-126 was admitted.
Him being there doesn't solve the issue if his testimony is not valid lay opinion testimony.
I address that in two ways, Your Honor. And we go through this in detail in our brief. This record done 8 years before this lawsuit is a business record. It is not subject to the rigors of 702. And primarily, Mr. Raymond is not coming in to give an opinion. He's going to come in and testify as to historical facts. This is what I did. I prepared this. He's going to show that it's reliable, that it wasn't pulled out of thin air, that he does it all the time, that he did it for U.S. Steel for decades, that these buildings are uniform and they're all built the same way, and it's length times width times height.
You make it sound like he's just coming in to verify a business record, but surely you want him to testify about more than that. You actually want him to give opinion testimony, don't you? Even though you don't, you may not want to say you're going to use him as an expert witness, but maybe that's what it would wind up amounting to.
Well, he's not being presented as an expert witness, Your Honor. He's coming in to authenticate that business record that does not have to pass Rule 702 rigor. Now, under 803.6, if a document that's coming as a business record has indicia of unreliability, that could be problematic. He's going to show that doesn't exist for this document. When did you prepare it, Mr. Raymond? I prepared it in 2003. Why did you prepare it? Because in the ordinary course, this is what we do for our project so we can staff it. Have you done this hundreds of times for U.S. Steel in the past? Yes, I have.
But
these are the things he's going
to ask questions. I'm sorry, wouldn't you have to ask questions to that would establish his qualifications to do that and make those estimates?
Right.
Which then gets very close to the line of specialized knowledge, and he would start to look like an expert. And I'm not sure that you could get around using it as a business record, that you could get around that requirement.
If we could get the chance to get to a new trial and have him be heard, why should we talk in this room about what he says, what he's gonna say before he even says it? That's precisely going back to my procedural point. Let's have the new trial. But okay. when we get to ask him those questions, he will show that it comes within the Rule 701, his knowledge in the industry, and it's proper Rule 701 opinion if it is opinion.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Thank you for the argument. The case will be submitted.